The Anzac industry is booming and it's arguably become one of Australia's most powerful brands. The way that's happened and what it means has been interrogated by author Jo Hawkins in her book Consuming Anzac. Jo spoke with The Wire's Rowan Neagle about the interplay between the brand of the Anzacs and the public at large, looking at the historical perspective.
Consuming Anzac does not necessarily trivialise the memory of the Great War or sanitise it. Consumer culture has democratised the memory of the Great War in many ways, made it accessible, brought it to life to a new generation. However, what I did find that is that a lot of them are motivated not by any political ideology and not by any personal family link to the past, like a lot of Australians have, that personal connection, but commercial entities are motivated by returns for shareholders and profits, and that's a new kind of logic that I really wanted to unpick and understand the mutually beneficial relationships that are driving the production of war memory in the 21st century.
I was actually taken aback by how early on this kind of branding actually started.
It was just months after the landing. So the word Anzac, and of course, had only just been invented. It was a brand new word as well, which makes it even more astonishing. But it very quickly became associated with potent personal meanings, political meanings, represented social currency, but also, of course, economic currency, because we had Anzac tea and, you know, Anzac coffee and beer, of course. People changed the name of their businesses to Anzac. So you have the Anzac Cafe and you have Anzac pubs. And the federal government moved so quickly to prohibit this. And I found that almost as fascinating as how quickly Australian businesses and entrepreneurs attach themselves to the word in the first place was that recognition at a very early stage by the federal government that, hang on a minute, we don't know what's happening here. We don't quite know what the impact of this will be, but we're pretty sure it's not going to be conducive to these sacred meanings associated with Anzac.
I always found that fascinating how the government was actually keen to suppress the branding of the Anzac, which is in dire contrast to today, where you have Woolies branding fresh in our memories, and you have AFL Anzac sort of Remembrance Day games as well.
In the early 20th century, it was very much about prohibition. There was this idea that Anzac commemoration was very sacred, very personal, and the consumer culture was profane. Of course, the boundaries between consumer culture and Anzac were always messy. It was never, ever that clear-cut. But, you know, certainly I think after the 80s and certainly the 1990s, there was this real realisation that, oh, hang on a minute, this lived linkage to the past doesn't exist anymore. A lot of these veterans, they've passed away, and yet there's this enormous demand for memory, and so the marketplace must produce what doesn't exist. And we do see veterans organisations and the federal government very happily endorsing a lot of commercial partnerships after that point. It's so compelling to hear about the lives of veterans. And actually, I think that's where, for example, the publishing industry started to really transform and absolutely thrive after the 1990s. We told the story of their trauma and their emotion. We're personally connected. A lot of us have Anzac ancestors. However, when you reduce it down to that one person's life, what you lose is the political context, a lot of the social context. It's harder to recognise the big picture because you're just focusing on one person's pain.
What makes Australia so unique in its Anzac mythology compared to maybe other countries who have their own military mythologies?
We're one of the only countries who commemorate and a battle which was actually a military failure. It's incredible how the mythos has sustained itself over 100 years. It hasn't always had the same resonance to Australians. It meant something very different 100 years ago. There was this idea of Edwardian militarism, so which meant that nationhood was attained when you spilt blood on the battlefield, which sounds absolutely ridiculous today, but it was very meaningful at the time. And there was this idea that because Federation had occurred quite peacefully, Australia had missed this defining, dramatic nation-building moment. So I think certainly in the early 20th century, people really clung to that first time that we went into battle for empire. But it's just so malleable. So I think it represents aspirational ideas about Australian national identity, about mateship and courage and larrikinism. I think they still retain currency in the resurgent Anzac mythology. It is very strategically promoted, not completely led by, you know, federal authorities and veterans organisations. Australians have really powerful personal connections. And I mean, I feel it too when I go down to my local Dawn service every year. I can feel that wonderful connection with my community, and that's important. You would never discard that. However, for me, what I think is quite dangerous is the amount of investment that it does get, and its prominence within Australian society, because what it does is it marginalises other stories of Australian achievement, and we have got an astonishing history. So I do think it impoverishes us as a nation when we just focus on this mythology. So if there's one thing you can guarantee these days, is that every Anzac Day there's going to be a moral panic about commercialisation. There's always some company that's going to put their foot wrong. It's going to happen next year as well. Somebody will put their foot wrong, and it'll be social media outrage, and the federal government and veterans organisations will come out and they will publicly shame this group or company. However, I think what I'd love people to be more engaged with is the fact that there are many different examples of commercial activity. There's very much happily sanctioned and authorised by those very same individuals. And I think it's up to us as Australians, as people who love, you know, going to our Anzac Day services every year, to be engaged with the ways in which commercial entities are actually generating enormous amounts of profits and values out of our military history.
Jo Hawkins, author of Consuming Anzac, speaking there with the wise Rowan Neagle. Consuming Anzac is published by UWA Publishing.